All right. What about education? You see any vision, any changes in education, that in your vision, that ways that people can learn what we know without being too obtrusive? Facebook? A lot of stuff, a lot of ways. Any thoughts on that? Yes, Maria?
In schools, they don't really teach the children how to cope with their feelings and their thoughts, how to direct their thoughts, how to cope with their feelings while they are growing up. And I think this is one of the things that should be put more light on and consider this, to give them a tool to handle themselves and the world. So.
Okay, how to deal with their feelings.
Emotional
content for the youth. Yeah, it begins with the educational system. Nobody asked me what I wanted to be, you know, when I grew up. It was just, you take these classes and graduate. And then goodbye and good luck.
At least you're not a rock salesman right now.
No. When I graduated from high school, I left home. I went out into the world. I drove straight to Grandma's place and moved in with her. And went to TVCC and tried to make something. But I didn't have the skills. And no one at school said, well, gosh, Curtis, what do you really want to do when you grow up? I said, don't grow up. But seriously, you know, kids need to have help defining their direction so they can make the most out of their talents. So education with the youth, I think, is going to be a very, very key part of it. And humanity, I just see people getting closer and closer. We are in a very critical period on our planet. There's a lot of crisis going on. And this crisis is good because it's like a defining tool of God. It helps people. It divides the weak from the strong. You either stand in your own principles and know what you believe in, or you don't. You'll be a sheep and you'll follow a dictator. You'll follow a Mussolini or a Hitler or someone that you think is greater than you. So as light bearers and light beings, we have to learn how to be our own prophet, priest, and king. You have to find that in yourself. You have to stand in your own autonomy, sovereignty, your own power with God. Then we connect. Then it goes into the community. First with you, and then us together. Together if we are both strong, together we are invincible. But if we're both weak, you know, there will be no strong action taken. So our words, back to that. You know, Jesus was referred to as the Word. He taught life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, what we say has meaning. Eliminate weak words from your vocabulary, like can't, but, and try. Well, I'd sure like to be more successful, but I don't think I can. But one day I might try. See, you let your words be, yes, I can do it. Yes, I will make a difference. Yes, I am here to contribute. Because you are. Let your communications be yay, yay, nay, nay. Anything less than this is evil. And what is the evil spelled backwards? Is live. So you're either going to live or die by your words. And that's the truth. How many times do you hear, oh, that's to die for? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. That's to live for. Let's live for that. So our words are important. Jesus was referred to as the Word of God and was so powerful because he spoke only the truth and everything he said came to pass. That's why when he said to Lazarus, rise from the dead, the soul of Lazarus had to obey, because he had to be obeyed, because his words were always true. He walked in the truth like no man before or since. And, you know, even the elements would obey him. Peace be still to the waters, and they would be still. So the elementals obeyed him. Jesus, interestingly enough, holds more than one key. He holds, what keys does he hold? Anybody have any idea?
Jesus is in the Christ.
Yeah, Jesus is Jesus Christ. What keys does he hold?
Does he hold the keys of life and death?
He holds the keys of life and death. Thank you. Keys of life and death. He's the Prince of Peace. He's also a God of war. Now, you may not like to hear that. You know, when he went to see the Nephites after he was crucified, he looked down on them in Zarahemla in all the cities, and he saw a lot of wickedness. And he said, you know, if I were to go down and appear before these people, they would ignore me. They would not understand me. They would not receive my message. So what did he do? He sent earthquakes, floods, violence, not so much violence as darkness. The darkness reigned over the area for 3 days. Thousands of people died. The righteous remained. And it says, this is back here in the good old Book of Mormon days. And thus far were the scriptures fulfilled which had been spoken by the prophets, and it was the more righteous part of the people who were saved, and it was they who received the prophets and stoned them not, and it was they who had not shed the blood of the saints who were spared. And they were spared and were not sunk and buried up in the earth, and they were not drowned in the depths of the sea, and they were not burned by fire, neither were they fallen upon and crushed to death, and they were not carried away in the whirlwind. Neither were they overpowered by the vapor of smoke and of darkness. All right, so now, he so readeth, let him understand. He that hath the scriptures, let him search them. And behold, if all these deaths and destructions by fire and smoke and tempest and whirlwinds and the opening of the earth receive them, all these things were not unto the fulfilling of the prophecies by many of the holy prophets. So, these calamities were sent to prepare the people to receive a greater measure of light, which would not have been received had they not experienced what they did. So he's not only, he says, I've not just come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword, you know, my words, his words are swords. They're swords. And he would cut them asunder. You know, look what he did to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he made them madder than hell. He called them whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones, twice bad as all the people that they condemned. Hypocrites, he called them. Boy, he had a way with words, didn't he? He stirred them up. His words were a dividing sword. Yea, yea, nay, nay. You're either with me or you're not. You either want to help me build the kingdom of God and open up the highest level of creative aspect of God for humanity, or you don't. You can just stay in your dark, dismal, despairing path of decay. Well, how many here want to help build the kingdom of God on the earth? All right. How many here want to ascend to the highest level of heaven within your own being? Everybody does, huh, Martin? Everybody does. All right, well, that's the name of the game, and that's what I'm talking about, and that's what I'm talking about. Vision, the next thing after a vision is a goal. You have to have a goal. A goal has a beginning, middle, end. You see something, you want it, you'll have this done by X amount of time. You see any goals we can set as a group? How close are we to a molecule?
It's right there.
Huh?
It's right there, Mark.
Okay. Then we know each other's names. All right. Here are a couple of good thoughts I like in opening this new portal that we are assembled to open. We can because we think we can. We think we can, therefore we can. Nobody can tell us different. Who are they? What do they know? It's like Monty wanted to get me back in, going in this direction. I go, what have you got for me? You can't even answer this simple question. So don't tell me we can't, because we can.
Did you see that reincarnation and Mormonism?
Yeah, I asked him how he liked that.
He says that's
pretty interesting twist you got on the plan of salvation. But the conversation moved, and next time I see him, I'll go more into that.